Hi, Angie. Where
Hi,
are you?
Joanna. I'm in Washington, D.C.
Has the play started yet?
We've is actually just got 1 week left now until Sunday. It's been so good.
I'm so glad. You look different. You have like a different energy about you.
You are not the first person to say that to me. So I don't know what's going on, but I like it. I cut
I'll
my
ditto
hair.
that. It's not just the hair, you're glowing in a different way.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Simona. Hi, Rose. It's good to see you. Okay, we'll give everyone a couple minutes.
I can also only stay for the first hour. I just
Okay.
want
Yeah, a
to.
bunch of people wrote in and said that they couldn't come today, so I'm thinking there'll still be some more of us, but we'll see how it goes. I know it's a weird time of year. I'll just give it a minute. And if it is just the four of us, we're going to use that to our advantage. And yeah, we'll do some deeper workshopping, which is always awesome too. Do you know if an email went out? I always assume that emails go out, but you never know. Okay.
Yeah, it did.
All right. Well, it might just be a weird day. Let's start here. I'm wondering if you've been practicing the technique that we learned at the last retreat. Around the impulses and choosing your own shadow journey. Either that or what have you been noticing about your own impulses? Hi, Bruce. So, have you been practicing or have you been noticing anything for yourself?
I could start. So first of all, yes, I've been practicing, and it's been a very cool and powerful technique. A couple of things. One, I did a tiny little adjustment to the language that I really like, so I'll share. And in your verbatim words, it's, if you could imagine any, I should have it right in front of me, but yours says from the real to the fantastical. I changed it to the realistic to the fantastical, and that works really well for me because real, like I'm so literal, as you guys probably have noticed, like realistic to fantastical has worked well. And of course, we track clients that are like us too. So I just wanted to name that in case anybody else can benefit from that because that's been fun. I did have one yesterday that went, it was a client I've been working with long enough that I knew we could go there, but it, and I know we dip our toe in the history to bring it active online and then go forward. It was like, it was interesting. I'll say in the post, the session was incredible. The results were incredible. I feel like I can't know how this will change your life, but I feel like it's a pretty good chance that it's like one of those sessions where people like her, the rest of her, like the trajectory of her life is like just a little bit different. So it was really powerful in that way. But as I was breaking it down with my husband afterwards, because I was like, that felt really big. And now I am like, I really definitely have to go back and become a clinical, you know, trained licensed therapist because like we went into really, we went into territory that I felt like was, I wasn't sure if I was in scope or not. I was trying, I was very, very cognizant and I kept it, I was really careful and with how I was asking and not, and everything was external to the body. And I know this client well enough to know that it was okay. But and in the end, like I said, it was like this life-changing thing for her, and I could feel it. And I've checked in with her, and I named that it was really big work. But he's like, that's, and he was generalizing, and so sometimes he can be kind of frustrating with his generalizations. But he's like, I feel like that's the difference between a man and a woman. A man's never going to ask if this was okay. Like, you've been somehow trained in your brain that like this is out of bounds and you're out of scope. He's like, you've just changed someone's life, most likely, and like you're sitting here worrying if you were too close to the edge of something you shouldn't be doing. So that's my share.
So first of all, sounds like it was an amazing session. So well done. I got chills when you said you imagine that her life is on a different trajectory, right? Even 1 degree is like a completely different trajectory over time. It's so well done. It sounds like you did an incredible job. And I don't know if you want to go deeper into this conversation or not. I'm up for it, and I think it's a great conversation to be had. But I also just, if you just wanted to let it land and be seen and heard in it, that's
I
great
could go
too.
either direction. If it feels like it could serve, I would be happy to. And also, if other people want to share first, and we can circle back. I don't think I'm being small and not taking up space. I'm not sure if going into the details. Well, I don't know the answer, actually.
I think it would be a great thing for us to talk about a little bit more, but I just didn't want to kind of go there unless you.
Okay, so where I'm pausing now is I'm always an open book with my own stuff. And of course, no one knows the name of this client, but like these are also recorded videos. So like I'm like, like if I. I think I'm going to share, and then we'll see. But yeah, so I'll say a couple of things. One, in the other times I've used this technique, it was purely this technique, but this particular circumstance was a combination of this technique and some other techniques. And so we were combining the follow your impulse, and the where do you feel it in your body? I forget which technique that is. And so the where you feel it in your, we got back to this place where the impulse was like there was some, it was back in a time where she was so little that she could only see the legs of her adults, and her parents were fighting, and the impulse was to, well, now I'm combining different clients. One client wanted to slam the door in her mother's face, but this isn't with that client. The impulse was to go off with like this imaginary grandmother figure and swing on the swing and be told that everything was okay. And then this sludge came in, and it was like, that's like not doing something. If someone gets attacked on the subway, it's your responsibility. Now, granted, she's like this little person, and I know from our other coaching that like there was an incident even younger than that where like her dad was hitting her mom and she was scared. So we pulled out of that scene, and we went into a cloud, like went into a cloud. And then from there, the impulse was to go back to the littlest part, like where that was happening, with the grandmother figure and the sledge outside of her body turned into this hulking figure to keep everybody safe, her mom safe, her safe, her dad safe. Like, and then she could see that she wanted to see the scene. And this is where I was like, oh my God, like, do we go here? I'm like, but she wants to go here. So we go, I'm like, before we left the cloud, I was like, we definitely can. And I'm with you, and space is with you. And the grandmother figures with you, and the hulking sledge outside of your body that can protect everyone's with you. Like, we definitely want to do. We definitely do this. She did. So we go back to this space where this is real now, but like that was where it wanted to go. And she can see now that yes, her dad was in your mom, but her mom wasn't really going to die. She was just so little that she thought her mom was going to die. And then she realized, oh my gosh, I wasn't that I was afraid my mom was going to die, but it was that was the moment that I realized, like, even though she was really tiny, My mom is not capable of keeping me safe or taking care of me because she's not even capable of taking care of herself. I will have to take care of myself and everyone around me for the rest of my life, being over fixer, over giver, over solutioner. And when she could see that, and then then we kind of sailed to another place, and we were in a, there was like a field and wisteria, and like everything kind of settled in. And like she integrated the whole thing. But that's where I was like, holy cow, like the impulse to go back to that moment felt important. And I felt in my body, I didn't feel, it didn't feel jaggedy. Like it felt like strength to go back there. But I was also a little, I didn't want to make her wrong. And I had to like kind of very half a second, why, like split second decision, like, do I let us go back to this place or not? So, like I said, it wasn't a straight impulse follower, but it was, that's what happened.
Yeah, I get it, and I get why you're like and that all of that makes sense. And just a quick clarifying question: when you went back to that, was she in her 4-year-old body?
She was, well, the littlest one. So, well, I don't know if she was four, but she was not, she was, there was a lot of hers. Like there was the current her, there was the her that saw her parents fighting and wasn't like, there was like a bunch of hers and the grandma figure and the hulking thing. Like she didn't embody the littlest one. She was with the littlest one. I
Okay,
was,
so
because that concerned, like I didn't want to get all the way embodied into that.
that right there is the key piece. And that was, I don't want to say the right impulse, because they're not right or wrong. And we all have our own scopes, and I'm going to talk about that actually in a moment too, because I think it will be helpful. But that to me right there, we always, when we go into these processes, we have the parts that experienced the trauma, and then we have all of the other parts. And for me, like in terms of my scope, I'm not going to put anyone inside of the part that experienced the trauma. But having their healthiest, full, whole self with all of its resources and wisdom, if the container is tight and all the things that you've done, that can bring actually that protection to because the trauma, the part that's been experienced, the trauma is never going to change. That's always going to be, they're always forevermore, right? So we don't want to go in there, but to have that wisdom or that protection or that perspective from the other parts, so long as you know that the client is grounded, if they've worked through that material before, if you are practiced, if you are holding that tight container and you're aware of all of the trauma responsive pieces, like to me, that's the difference. And I think you had that right impulse to not go into the trauma body.
I don't think I would have done that with a client I hadn't been working with for as long as I'd been working with this client too, and to know her history and to know like what she has and hasn't worked through, to know like the support system she has at home with her amazing, people in her household. So all that. But yeah, like I said, I was a little unsure. But I love that distinction of not going in her body. And but as we're talking, I'm still nervous. Like I don't think I would, I'm still like on the edge of like, wow, that was impactful. And I guess though the answer is all the things you just said. I know she's worked through it, and her impulse was to follow it and to be there with her entourage and see it. And like I said, the aha for her wasn't just that like she was protecting her mom. It was like the first time she ever realized she was protecting herself too. Like that was like
And that's
change, like
the,
game changing.
yeah, and that's again, like that trauma self is not ever going to change, but that process allowed her healthy self to be able to see that.
I love this. I'm still a little uncomfortable. All of it. That I'm like both thrilled that it happened and a little uncomfortable. So I'm like, because that's how I get. But I love the distinction, and I did it not fully consciously. So the distinction, like, it just, I don't know if I would have done it on purpose. So I'm glad that you named it so I couldn't, can do it on purpose the next time, which was not to have her go into the little body, but to be with her me's and her current body. So that's, I'm so glad we talked it into detail.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a practitioner, I wouldn't make the suggestion to go there, right? It's like, it was client led. You, even if you didn't verbally do a check because you know her, you did that check of, has this been worked through? You know, from what I've seen, can she stay grounded? You don't go to that place. And then as we looked at, you know, and continue to look at, and this, by the way, can happen in regular just cognitive conversation with someone. If you see that they're collapsing into emotion or not in their body, then you stop the process and you bring them back to their body, right? And that goes, that can happen. I mean, it will most likely not happen, but it could happen in regular conversation. So my sister is a practitioner. She's an art therapist. And she was just recently telling me, you know, she has one client that just, my sister went from sitting down in the chair to standing up, and that triggered a trauma response, right? It was, there was no process going on or anything like that. So again, and this is what it means to be trauma-informed, that we're just aware of the possibility of it. Anything else that anyone else wants to add, or what you're seeing or hearing or learning from this conversation?
Yeah, I would add, sorry, I couldn't find my raise hand button. I think the part around what your husband contributed and how he framed it is a really interesting part of it that I think about a lot. So I would be, I don't know, I'd be interested to explore that. I'll share my slice.
I love that you're saying that, Angie. Because in not therapy and not mental psyche, mental health, like in business, I'm like, I don't mind. But in like human.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's not wrong in noticing that there's a difference. There's for sure a difference. And a lot of that difference, I think, is really important and sacred and beautiful, and part of what I want to keep as a female socialized practitioner, which is, there will always be consent and consideration. I will always be conscientious about the role that power plays and all of that. And is there, and maybe more men should be asking whether or not it's okay. And maybe more men should be checking in with where their lines are around the power that they hold in containers and relationships. And then, yes, is there a place where I think women, folks who are socialized female, can stay so far away from any edge at all that we question everything and stay nervous and worried and contained? Absolutely. So there's an important crossover space where I'm always trying to find the balance point of those two things.
Yeah, I want to underline the crossover space, and also not make this a male-female thing too. although there may in some ways like be little pieces to that, but also not make generalizations there as well. But this crossover space that you're talking about, Angie, that's where I think the empowerment and power with our clients is. The allowing for agency, the getting the consent, the allowing for agency while still directing in a way, and not directing because it's our agenda, but through that listening to our clients of maybe what they can't even hear themselves, leading them in that direction with their full agency intact. Anyone else want to comment on that or add to that? Bruce.
Yeah, I feel like I have to say something here. So, just thinking about the, when I listen to practitioners, well, I was just thinking, I was just watching another of the hundredth Schwartz, Dick Schwartz thing last week, and it isn't, he's asking at the same level of, is it okay to keep going? That you're talking about, Joanna. I can't tell any like gender difference. I think there's a, it's all trauma informed. So if you're trauma informed, then I'm not sure gender is even a conversation. You're either trauma informed or you aren't. But I will say that I can speak for myself, but I can speak for a lot of men, I think, that there is a certain provoking nature to the male species that likes to see if other people are up for it. It's got kind of a competition underneath it. It's got a, it has a kind of a provoking thing. So I could be in something with somebody that's getting a little intimate, and I can sense it's going to be intimate. And the urge in me is to ask a provoking question. But underneath that is, are you going to go for it or not here? Are we just fucking around, or are you going to go for it? There's an urge underneath it to keep going, which I think is a male kind of competitive thing. So I think
I
it's a
could
good
make an
question.
argument that the competitive thing and the provocative thing is female, but
Yeah. I don't mean it's gender exclusive. I just
absolutely right. But it is the, and I think, I mean, if I heard Simona in her, in your original comment, Simona, if I heard what I think I heard, I think it was actually even more than this, a comment on women being socialized to question ourselves and make ourselves wrong more than men or anything else.
you know, when Angie used the words worry, fret, I forget what word she used about my like post call decision. That was, yeah, I was like, oh my God, like all the noise, like, just a lot of questioning of myself, a lot of noise, a lot of like, did I make it felt like even though the evidence showed that it was a good outcome, I'm like, could have gone a different way. Like, who do you think you are, young lady? Oh my God. There it is. There it is. Who do you think you are, young lady? That's what was there.
So that, right, like that's the piece that you want to watch for. And I'll share this with everybody in case it's helpful. I question myself all the time. I mean, I teach and have taught all of this for so long, and I still question myself. And what I've learned for me is that the questioning in and of itself is not good or bad, and it can actually be very helpful. It's that energy with which I'm questioning myself and what is motivating the questioning of myself. And then what am I doing with the, how am I assessing and what am I doing with the information? The questioning ourselves, you know, in the best of all possible worlds, it's because we're people of integrity. It's because we're people who are committed to making impact and to doing good work and to being our at our best, you know, like all of that. Like, let's not make any of that wrong. And I think the questioning, again, at least for me and in my experience, it's what's moved me towards excellence more and more and more. But it's a very distinct, different energy when I cross over into who do I think I am, I suck, I'm a fraud, like all of those other pieces. Kim.
And maybe this is my own distinction about the energy, but it's almost in addition to what energy is motivating my questioning, it's how much energy is am I losing? Am I taking up by worrying, by perseverating, by sticking with this over and over again? And how much of my energy am I giving away to that?
Yes. Rumination is almost always a trauma response, and that is different than assessment and questioning. Such a rich and important conversation. Does anybody else want to add anything, share what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what's coming up for you, what's feeling important? We've been in a lot of different places so far. Before I get back to you, Angie, just want to see if anybody who hasn't spoken yet wants to speak, and then I'll swing back around. Solveig is saying the distinction between rumination and assessment feels important. Yeah. Angie.
First of all, apologies. I thought it was still just like the five of us in the room. I didn't see so many other people enjoying.
Hi, more everybody. People here.
I had my screen view different. I wanted to just tie together the threads of what Bruce was talking about. I think the distinction between masculine and feminine energy is important, and that we all have both of those, that we all embody both of those energies. And then when that interfaces with how you were socialized, culturally, familially, societally, then that's what kind of turns up or turns down some of those qualities. So in general, in North America and in lots of cultures, like that masculine energy of being the provocateur, as Bruce was talking about, and kind of like poking at the thing and being competitive, can really be discouraged and dampened. And so the other qualities of taking care of other people and making sure that people feel okay and all that can be really turned up. So this is my constant nerdy fascination of understanding the intersections of these, and in particular as that plays out in our roles as practitioners doing really intimate, tender work. So I wanted to kind of tie those two things together for myself and anyone else that finds that interesting.
Yeah, I love that. I love how that brings what Bruce was saying. It just kind of brings it all together. It's great.
I find what I say is always better when Angie reframes it for me.
I thought it was pretty good to begin with, but I loved the full context.
The intelligence just gets ratcheted up. It does. Thank you, Angie. Hey, I just want to make one more quick comment. I'm just thinking back to Rose was doing the process with me whenever last month, and I was thinking about just how story works and just the how I guess I'd like you to talk about it for another minute, Joanna. You know, when Rose was doing it with me, I was the little kid at the dining room table, and she did all the steps. She did them just right, but the transformative effect on me happened because I was at that moment the little kid sitting at the table. If Rose had tried to, you know, make me the observer of that, it wouldn't. I mean, I still walk by that photo of my dad in the living room, and I think of that moment with Rose. So there's a transformative thing, but your story mind wants to go there. For Rose to have said, you know, be more of an observer, it would not have had the remaking of the narrative.
Absolutely. And you do. I mean, the technique is to be in your body. What I was saying for Simona is because she was going to a place with that client that was already like, this look, every situation, I mean, almost every situation we have trauma responses to, right? And I hate to say big T, little T trauma, because trauma response is trauma response. But just for the sake of the conversation, if you weren't beaten at that table, if you weren't, abused in a way where there would be a massive trauma response.
Yeah.
That is on limits. And I know I just say for me, that is in my scope, right? But everybody can decide on their own. But what Simona was talking about, I think, had this flair of it could have been a big T moment.
Yeah.
And that's the distinction there. Yeah. That makes sense?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And just the craft in being able to sense into that and know that. I really appreciated your cartwheeling around and trying to figure that out, Simone. It was great. It was just great how you were talking about it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we want to ask, right? As we were looking at the retreat, you know, if a memory comes up and it feels like it's a big T, we're going to ask the client, have you worked through this? Have you looked at this before? What, you know, where are they at with it too? That can really help us know.
So,
Joanna?
Rose,
yeah. So this is really interesting because this idea of being in that space and the power of actually recreating that moment. In my session, when Kelsey was coaching me, I chose to be in what could have been termed a big T moment, but I knew I wanted it because I wanted to know, I wanted to feel again. I mean, I wanted to go back to that feeling to capture what that really did feel like, because it's been so underground. Running underground in my life, even though I've done a lot of work on that. But so it was so useful, though, to actually knowing I was safe and knowing I had done the work, and I actually
offered
to my people that I knew that I was okay.
Exactly. And you had even mentioned that in the group, right? You had mentioned that you had done the work. You had mentioned that you felt totally grounded to go there look at that.
But what's interesting is because I've been, since that session, interestingly enough, I've really struggled with so having inhabited that and really getting the impact of that in my life, to literally not be able to have a voice and having threat of danger right there in front of me. I'm still working it out, interestingly enough. So it's just no small thing. Is all I'm going to say. Really a sacred, powerful, potentially explosive deal. And I think that's what we're acknowledging here. So,
yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, and I think I said this at the retreat, And I'll say it again. Not just this technique, honestly, almost all of it, all of the work that we do, it's risky. It's risky. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean it in a, like, the part of me that loves to know all the checks, all the things are checked, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And if I do all of that, then everything is gonna be okay, no matter what. Like, there's one part of me that wants to believe that. Like, we can give all of these rules for the things, and that's that. But the real truth of the matter is that we're working with human beings, and there is always risk. And that risk is part of one of the, like, doorways to making the work so powerful. And we want the rules and the parameters and the guardrails in place, but I just can't promise to anyone that you won't have to stop a session or a process or a conversation and say, hey, feels like the best thing to do right now is to get grounded and get in your body, etc. Yeah. Anything else that wants to be shared on any of this? Simona.
I'm just appreciating this whole conversation because I think it was either Kim or Solveig or both of you that have voiced this year, but like where the lines are. And so having these conversations, like these hair splitting nuances that are so important, really. And even what you just said in terms of like, we can't know how it's going to go down. Like, it just feels, I'm just loving it. So thank you to you. Thank you to everybody for holding space, for adding to it, for giving it texture. It feels really important. And it makes me feel really glad to be here again for the 50 millionth time. Glad to be here.
So anyone else been practicing with the technique? How has it been going? What have you been seeing or noticing? Or what have you been noticing for yourself? If maybe you've been applying persistently and consistently in your own inner work since the retreat. Love to hear about that too. What are you seeing? What are you noticing? How has the work been going or not going? We can also talk about that too, if you haven't been applying persistently and consistently. Who wants to share? Brooke.
Hey everyone, thanks Joanna. So yeah, I've had the opportunity to practice the technique with a few clients, and I've had kind of a range of experiences. The first time I brought out the tool, it went without a hitch. It just seemed like everything kind of went well. And then with another client, it's interesting because this particular client, I feel like, does really beautifully with guided visualization. It really helps her get into the present moment and kind of get out of meaning making, where she's wrong or bad or doomed. And we had a really powerful session with the tool, but almost immediately when we concluded, she like went right back into the old pattern and the old story. And so yeah, I was just curious if you had any advice for supporting her through that. I still think it was valuable and I still think that it's there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's something that I've noticed with her in the past, that something really profound will shift and then it'll go right back into the old. Yeah. So just thought I would bring it forward today.
Yeah, such a great question. And did you notice it at the end of the session, or you just noticed it afterwards and into the next session, just out of curiosity?
It was actually my last session with her, so I haven't seen her since to report back. I see her tomorrow. So I'm anxious to kind of, you know, see how things have been sitting with her.
Yeah.
But I did notice it pretty immediately after we kind of kind of wrapped up the exercise and went kind of more into what do you want to take forward from this, just kind of rubber band snapping, like almost immediately back to, well, all that's great, but
yeah,
da, 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 you know.
Did you create awareness around that?
Really gently, you know. I think I said something to the effect of like, sounds like you've gone back to a stressful place, like, can, you know, that kind of thing, like, or it seems like, you know, that really calm energy you had a few moments ago kind of dissipated and feels more stressful. It was something along those lines. And, you know, it kind of, with this particular client, kind of feels like, you know, she'll go deep and then it's got to stay on the surface for a little while, and then like she'll go a little bit deeper. And so I created a little awareness around it, but probably not as much as I would have done with another client, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So good. There's a bunch of thoughts and ideas I have here. So first of all, just based on this last thing that you said, this kind of might be her growth pattern. Mm-hmm. I just posted on social media yesterday, which all of you have heard me say before, that growth is cyclical, not linear. And the cyclical nature of growth is going to be a little bit different for each individual, right? Like, so for some people, it's like 3 steps forward, 1 step back, or we shouldn't even call it back, but moment for integration, or, you know, pop out. For someone else, it might be 1 step forward, 1 step, I mean, half is it, right? Like, so that's one piece to consider and to possibly have a conversation with her about, is what is her growth cycle of moving forward and then integration, and what does she need for integration? Does she need more surface, or, you know, this, that, and the other thing? So that's one possible pathway to go down. And then I'll name another one, and then I'll ask you, Brooke, like what you think would be best for her, or a combination. The other thing is, this might be her resistance pattern, right? So this might be how she resists, where she doesn't resist initially. She's willing to do the process and go deep, and then something profound happens for her, and then that's when the resistance shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an avenue of exploration as well. And if you go down that route, you know, you can really use all of the tools that we looked at in navigating client resistance. And by the way, again, I recommend everybody listen to those 4 sessions, not to be like, they were really good, but they were really good. And like, you know this, but you'll take it all to a deeper level. And I created more like resource sheets than I had ever before for Sacred Depths in there. You have all of that. But anyway, so in that case, it might be about lovingly creating awareness around this pattern of like openness, depth, profound, and then, you know, and it almost sounds like if this is the thing for her, like part of her resistance archetype, it's like a disconnection. It's in the area of the ones that get disconnected. You know, we could call it like the surface one, or I'm not sure, you'd want to work on that with her. And then you can, actually work with that protective part, right? Because that's a part that's protecting. Become better friends with it, but then even just that conversation, you can you have something then to refer back to when she reverts that can possibly help her then be like, ah, oh, this is the disconnected one, you know, because what we just did was so profound. Can we just talk to that one for a moment? Right, like after you do the initial work, then you can come back. Can we just talk to that one for a moment? And then are you willing to come back to that feeling and that belief in your body afterwards? Okay, I know I just said a mouthful with lots of different things, but tell me what's standing out for you and what could be helpful here.
Oh, both. I think both pieces, both directions are really helpful because I do see growth, you know, in her. And sometimes it'll be interesting because we'll end the session and I'm like, ooh, I lost her there at the end. But then the next time it's like she heard everything and she integrated it in her own way. It's just like she had to go back to that place for a moment. And so I think one of the clues that she gave me in this particular session that I'm bringing forward today is that part of her impulse was to, she was at a piano recital and she flopped, but her hands were playing the song, but they were playing it at two different times. So the right hand was playing the song, left hand was playing the song, but they weren't playing in tempo with each other. And part of her impulse was to leave the concert hall and go back to her bedroom and kind of ground herself. And there was more that happened, but what was interesting at the end when that energetic shift happened, she said, see, I did what I always do. I retreat, I go hide. Whereas in the visualization, it was very empowered, taking care of self, processing, reflection. There was a part of her that wanted to kind of make that wrong or make that mean something. So I think it is about her growth pattern, but I think also it is this, I think it's part of her resistance as well, is the main thing that's sticking out for me.
Yeah, beautiful. So you can kind of, you know, work it from there. Yeah. And I'll just add one other flourish in case it's helpful for you and everyone in terms of like growth cycles. So I'll just give a case study. I have this one client. We do amazing, just incredible, profound work together. She goes so deep. And then she takes incredible actions. And of course it's not, right? She gets stuck in all the things. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is because after the first couple of months of us working together, like we'd work on a visibility thing, we'd go deep, she would take incredible steps. And then when it came to the next visibility thing, she'd have a dread, you know, she'd talk about the dread in her stomach. And then she'd go into, oh, but I like already worked through this. And I guess we didn't really work on the visibility issues or, right. Like she was just going back to that. And after the second or third time of this happening, I said to her, oh, what if this is your process? What if the dread just isn't going to go away when you go to do visibility things? And it doesn't mean that you haven't worked on your fear of visibility. What if this is just the feedback from your body that you're about to do something big and a little bit scary? And that's how you, right? And we need to then, and sometimes when that happens, yes, you and I, it's important for us to do a process maybe to, right, or not, but whatever it is. And this like has opened up so much for her, because when she quote unquote reverts, which isn't a revert, right? I can just name it right there. Like, oh, that's just your thing. Like that lets us know that you're exactly where you need to be on the path. Like, I know now you're going to send this big proposal out because you're feeling dread in your stomach. And it helps us lighten it up too. She tends to be like a heavy, you know, like, and we can do the inner work if we need to, but we're not like pathologizing the thing. We're seeing it as part of the process. Anyone want to share anything on that or say anything on that?
Well, I'll just affirm that I love hearing that, because I tend to be one of those people that can be heavy and put, assign a lot of meaning to it without recognizing that this truly is my process. So I think you wrote about a client, and I don't know if that was her, but when I said this sounded like just like me, but it's just, it's really interesting to identify. We all have our different processes, and it's really important that to recognize how we can negativize, make things really negate the process. And I know I do for myself. So that's a really great reminder for my clients. So thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's back to our first retreat in advanced. You know, when we looked at Befriend Your Fear, remember one of the foundational principles is the moment that you hate on any part or any part of the pattern or any habit, like that is when it has power over you. So just like different fears are parts of ourselves we want to be friendly towards, we actually want to be friendly towards habits or patterns or go-to places, even if we want to let them go, you know, like even if the ultimate, and again, sometimes the ultimate goal isn't to let it go, it's just to be in different relationship with it, right? But it's like, we're all of us, myself included, we're so quick to make it bad or hate on it or want it to go away, when that just stymies things further versus working on the relationship with it and seeing it for what it is. Kim.
I love this idea of what you're describing as this, you can draw a parallel for a client and all of that, and it becomes a signal. And I feel like, especially if there's a body memory, especially if they can recognize something, I mean, I should just speak for myself, when I can recognize something for myself, eventually, if someone points it out to me frequently enough, I can then have recognize the signal myself and talk myself through it. And so I feel like if we can gently do that for our client, that's the goal, is that they begin to then find that in themselves and for themselves, rather than relying on it to come from someone else. It becomes more of a recognizable pattern.
Yeah, they internalize it. Absolutely. There was one other thing I wanted to add that's a little bit different than what we've been talking about in terms of Brooke's question, but before I do, any other shares or anything else that wants to be contributed on what we've been talking about? Simona.
I'm so sorry. And if this takes us too far out, I'll just rewatch, but I realized my brain didn't retain what Rose said. Rose, were you glad that you went into your body? I mean, I know you did it purposefully, but now I'm like, remembering two things. Are you glad that you and Kelsey did that process? Like when you went in?
Are you talking about during the journeying process?
Yes.
Yes, but, and I'm also commenting on the depth of what happened, that in that moment, I didn't quite realize it, that it's really still reverberating in me deeply. And so I don't regret, but I'm just recognizing the power of it, especially as it was a pretty big, you know, trauma piece in my life. And so.
Thank you for repeating yourself. I'm so sorry I didn't retain it the first time. I was hearing both things. And I'm like, I can't remember what I was hearing.
Not sure I was totally clear. I was kind of talking about kind of how big it really was, but I didn't really say if I was glad I did it. So, you know, it's a good question. And yes, but you don't always know what you're getting into, which sort of reinforces your point. You just don't really always know. But that's sort of the dance that we're all in.
That's a dance. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thanks.
So that's actually a great segue into what I wanted to also, just the other piece I wanted to share about what Brooke was sharing. And I think it, Rose, it can apply for what you're sharing as well. And this isn't just an important reminder for all of us. When we work with a client, whatever the technique is, or even if it's not a somatic technique, like something big comes up in a session, we want, or I say I and I want to invite you to consider holding a little bit of a tighter container in the week to 2 weeks after the session. So what does that mean to hold a tighter container? So there's a couple of pieces. So first of all, even before the holding the tighter container, is the strategy piece. So remember, we're always after the technique that we looked at, really at the end of any session, we're strategizing on next steps. How are we, it's not so much going deeper with what came, but how are we integrating it, right? How are we integrating what came through? And that can be through outer actions. I really think usually a combination of some small outer actions and then inner pieces, like continuing to journal, movement, whatever it is. So we wanna make sure we have that time and space to strategize for integration and forward movement. And then usually what I do is in the next week or two, I'm holding a tighter container with that client. Like, so before even we get off the phone or the Zoom, I'll say, hey, can you check in with me in a day or two? Or if I don't hear from you, I want to check in, see how things are going, what's coming through, or did you take the action, etc. And I'll kind of just track them a little bit more closely for a short period of time. The purpose of that is to just hold the container, number one, for the integration. And then number two, because back to, if you all remember, you know, I've described a couple of times this process of change is like a breakthrough happens, there's new information, but there's also like this opening window of energy to move forward and take action. And so I want to hold a tighter container to support the client to actually ride that wave of inspiration towards what they want. Julia.
That's awesome. So how do you do this with yourself? Because what I've found with myself is that somehow I have that grace for others and that expectation that there's that grace. But with me, it's like, oh, great. So this is what we've discovered or integrated. So what does this mean? What are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing that's different? And I just go into that masculine energy of get it done now. Make sure by the end of the week it's done.
Yeah, I'm so with you. It is so much harder for ourselves. That's why we need coaches and practitioners and programs, right? Because I mean, like human nature is, it is so much harder. So I can't, I don't, and I'm open to other people's answers as well. I'll tell you a couple of things that are helpful for me. But before I even share them, just to say, like, sometimes they work and sometimes they really don't work and it all falls apart, you know? So number one, putting it in my calendar, like actually creating, you know, having that time and space in my calendar to know I'm going to do the inner work or I'm going to take the action. Now, do I sometimes override my calendar and decide in the moment it's not really important and there are other way more important things? Yes, but it does also sometimes help, right? So that having a sticky at your desk or on your computer reminding you not of the action itself, but the feeling, right? Like the new wisdom that came through, the new belief, the energy that you want, like as just a coming back as a, you know, a reminder to that, that can sometimes help. If you live with somebody or have a close friend, that you can be like, hey, I really like, this is really important, can you ask me? Or an accountability partner. Some of us are accountability partners, you know, but like having someone else, even if it's not a practitioner. So, you know, John and I are half good at that, you know. I'm like, make sure that I am in bed by 10:30, you know, like half. Sometimes it works out, you know what I mean? But sometimes having if it's not a practitioner, someone else that can help hold the space. So those are some of my, again, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but I'd love to hear, and then Rose, I'll swing back to your question. But I just love to hear from other ideas on this. How can we hold better accountability containers for ourselves? Kim.
One thing that's worked well for me, because I if something's on my calendar, I kind of blow it off way too easily. So I actually need some work on that if anyone wants to help me, but nonetheless. what has worked though is to create an alarm on my phone or my watch and have the alarm actually ask the question that I want to ask myself. So the alarm, you can put language on it, and to set a time, and even multiple times a day, and just to have my attention brought back to the question, or, you know, I don't blow that off as easily.
I love that. Yeah, and that's similar to what Solveig is sharing in the chat too. There are good uses for technology. Who else? Any other thoughts or ideas? Or even if you haven't tried it out, just creative inspiration from this conversation, something that might have legs. Brooke is sharing in the chat Tara Moore's work around creating what she calls success architecture. That sounds really awesome. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, I can just share. I think Sylvia is from the, I think she wrote about it in Playing Big, but I'll double check. If not, I have some things I can share from my training with her, that some worksheets I can share with the group if that's helpful. But one of the things that I've taken from that is making it the default. So like making it harder not to do the thing than to do the thing. So like just a silly example, if you're trying to drink more tea and less coffee, you know, like putting the coffee on the highest shelf where you'd have to get the stepladder out, and the tea is like right there, you know, like just make going out of your way to make it actually more work to do the thing. Yeah. So if that's helpful.
I love that. I was listening to, I think it was on a Brené Brown's podcast. She was interviewing, I can't remember the name of the guy. He wrote this book called Atomic Habits. And it was a great, I highly recommend that podcast. I can't remember his name, but one of the things he was talking about, I mean, there are a lot of things that he shared, but one that really struck me is when you're creating new habits, to be James Clear, thanks Kelsey, to be focused on who you want to be. Like, who is that person that is creating that new habit? And to move from that energetic place. I mean, he didn't use those words, but that's how I understood it.
Joanna, my comment is really about integration.
So okay, great. Yeah, go ahead.
But I don't, so I think it's just really, this is really helpful. It's really pointing out to me, and also how I do it much better for my clients, I will say. But I know that when I do it better for myself, I will do it better for my clients too, in terms of helping them integrate. And historically, I'm not that great at it. I kind of move on to the next thing. And, you know, if you recall after that last, our shadow work, that last, I left the next day for Paris.
Yeah.
So I was completely moved into another zone. But, and I have been like almost really, well, really perplexed at coming back. I've just felt like a fish out of water. Like I can't find what's next for me. I was very connected on my trip. It was a beautiful experience and an immersion. And my, just real briefly, the thing I worked on was visibility. It was about the source of where does this come from? And it comes from many places, but there was one particular incident at 15 where, you know, I can say it, but it was my father pounded a 12-inch spike into a book that had the word ecstasy in it, and came home with my teenage friends to find this and total state of shock. And of course, he didn't even know that he did it. And so it's just, but the message was, it is not safe to, well, to speak, to show up, to certainly talk about ecstasy. It was called Education and Ecstasy. It was about education. Mm-hmm. But that, so what I haven't integrated, I mean, I did a lot of posting, you know, of my trip, and I had a few kind of profound posts, but since I've been back, it's like I'm completely frozen.
Yeah.
And because I haven't done the work, you know, even though I've done a lot of visibility work, I've done a ton of trauma work, but somehow really following through what was next in following that impulse, which was, you know, to do lightsabers and all this great stuff, but I don't feel like the one holding the lightsaber since I've been home. So it's really, so the integration piece is something that I think I really know I need to do a lot of work, more work on. And I know journaling will help, but I, you know, I'm a little bit of a, this is really helpful. I didn't know what was going on, and this is it. It's yeah. Right here.
Yeah. So, and it makes perfect.
I do not want to be on this call. I can't tell you. I never, I don't want to be on this call. And when I saw there were only four of us at first, oh my God, I was just going to like leave. Thank God a few more of you showed up. But anyway, I guess I'm glad I'm here. And but thank you. What's next?
Yeah. So a couple things I want to reflect back. So first of all, I hope that you are holding deep, deep compassion for yourself. You know, you left. We had this big retreat, and then you went on this incredible adventure. Of course you put it down and didn't work on integrating. You had crepes to eat. I mean, it's, you know.
A beauty to post about. And that was easy, but really reflection and insight and where to go, how to put all this together. It has
comforts. Right. So first, just please hold yourself with compassion. From my perspective, I think you made some good decisions about how to use your time and your energy on the trip. Because I know that you enjoyed that trip deeply. And the work that you did with Kelsey, it's there. It hasn't left. It's in your body and it's in your psyche. And so if you choose, you can come back to it now without beating yourself up, without judging yourself, with just deep like self-love and reverence and desire.
I think what it points out to me so much is how I dismiss myself, you know, how dismissive I can be of these really profound things that happen in my life and not really honor them. Yeah. And that is probably, it's like this huge, you know, chasm of what's there to be worked. And it's a great awareness, but I don't want to beat myself up anymore for it. I just want to go to that place and what is it like to really honor, you know, yes, the work that I do and that
yes. Do you have an accountability partner?
Well, I have several. Kim is one of my beautiful accountability partners, and she has been, she's right here on the call, and she helps me a lot with these things. I have several though, yes.
Awesome, okay, great. If you were to...
Dottie is another, so I have two.
Two I didn't hear?
Dottie is my Dottie. Other. Okay. Kim was from before, and we've kept it all up, so I have two.
If today's Monday, and I know life is busy, but if there was something that you felt called to commit to every day for the next 5 days or three out of the next 5 days, and it doesn't have to be an hour thing, it could be a 10-minute thing, that would really be about either you honoring these profound things and honoring yourself versus dismissing, or returning back to that work that you did at the retreat. do you feel called to do over the next week?
What came out of it, what I was called at the end to do was I realized I want to write that story. I mean, that as an event, like a mini.
Love that.
You know, no siblings are involved. There's, you know, I can safely talk about that event. I want to write about it. I want to like tell the truth, and I actually want to publish it.
Yes.
Because I've been so afraid to talk about my family story because I have siblings alive. I've got, you know, there's just too much dirt to put out there.
Yeah.
But this doesn't involve them. I want something to be known.
Yes. How many sittings over the next 5 days or 7 days would be right for this, writing sittings?
Well, I don't know. I could say to do the next 5 days, to sit for even 30 minutes at a time. You know, if it's more, great, but to not be overly, you know.
Yep.
But to sit for 30 minutes for 5 days would be something. It would be just to, even if it's raw and.
Yeah, gather the thoughts, start to put it together. We're not looking for a finished product in five days.
Something perfect.
Yeah.
No, please.
Is that something that you feel called to commit to?
I've been knowing I wanted to commit to it, and I thought, how does one do that? And it's like, I guess this is what you do. This is how you just.
It is so not sexy. Yeah, it is having this conversation. It is putting it in your calendar. Yeah. And then Kim, I don't want to put you on the spot, and it's okay if you don't have time and space for this week, but Kim, would you have time and space to check in with Rose every day on this?
You bet. Absolutely.
Okay, when would be a good time for each day for the two of you to check in on this? I might be getting too granular here, so you can just stop my Virgo self.
In the schedule because she's 3 hours earlier, so it's up.
I'm an early riser, so I can call.
I know that. That's
8:30 or 9 your time any day. Each day, if that works for you, I can totally do that.
Yes, and we can text about it. But yes, generally speaking, that time. Yes, I know you're. She's on the phone every Thursday at 5:30, at 8:30 my time. I can't even imagine how she does it, but she's up. So
I can't imagine either. That is uncivilized. Awesome. And Rose, how would you feel about letting us know in the Facebook group as well?
No, because part of my dilemma about this stuck piece is I feel like I've been very stuck. So to actually move forward on this would be pretty revolutionary. So yes, I will do this. I'm really curious about myself to see how this feels to commit and then to stay.
So. Awesome, beautiful. Okay, if I get a chance, I'm gonna check in on you too in the Facebook group. And we'll be sending a ton of love your way over these next couple days.
And the last thing I want to say is I just am amazed at how we don't know what we don't know sometimes, you know, like how emotions live in us. And, you know, we can go through our lives and feel but not really get to the feeling. And so I'm in awe of how this brought this out, how I didn't want to be here and how this came. I had no idea that this was going to come up today. I didn't even think that this was unprocessed and unfinished. And so that's the part that, you know, for our clients and all of us, we carry all these emotions. And so I guess honor our willingness to do this and to show up and learn.
Yeah, it is no small thing that we continue to show up for this work and for ourselves. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anything that anybody wants to add around that kind of accountability piece that Rose and I were just talking about, or strategizing tighter containers or accountability. Kelsey.
You know, you mentioned Brené Brown, but I just find myself needing like these proactive systems, like listening to podcasts regularly. I would say proactive systems and like consistent inspiration, almost like an inspiration junkie. But I need to be hearing it from like the Brené Brown's like research lens, and then other people, like your posts about mindset and emails, and just like having those constant flow of people in my inbox on my social, like just that's what I go to those places for. And then also those friends, and even these calls, like just having the product, because Rose, I had a similar situation. I was out all last week. And so coming in today, I'm like, I need to just get my life back in order, but it's so important to have these systems back in place to plug you back in and remind you of why you're doing this work and the importance of it. So yeah, that's what I do.
I love it. Yes. I was not a podcast listener. I feel like I started listening to podcasts 15 years after they were a thing, but now similar to you, Kelsey, I love the, it's part of the container for me. It's part of the structure, that architecture that Brooke was talking about, where it like, it inspires me, and I'm like, oh, you know, so that's not the case for everybody, but I love that as a piece. Brooke.
Yeah, that was so wise, Kelsey. Thanks for sharing that. I was just thinking about the energy piece that you were speaking of earlier with, you know, with regard to questioning ourselves, the energy kind of underneath the questioning. And I feel like that's sort of an important thread for me around accountability is, you know, what's the most supportive energy that I can bring to self-accountability versus, you know, being harsh or trying to, I don't know, trick or convince myself to do something or shame myself with something. It's always the more loving, gentle encouragement that actually supports me. So I just wanted to kind of thread that energetic piece in here.
Yeah, I'm so, so glad that you are. It's so important. And for all of you, if you remember from Sacred Depths, when we looked at accountability, there was a little strategy in that module, but most of that module was about unpacking how we've been wounded from accountability structures in our lives, right? And then how we kind of fight against it, because the type of accountability that has been provided for us historically is really not what we've needed energetically in order to stay connected and energized and motivated. So I love that you're speaking about this energetic piece. It's just so, so important. Kim.
I was curious, this is not in response to your question, but it's just one of the things you invited us to do as far as homework from the last session was to pay attention to dreams. And I have not ever been someone that dreamt unless I was pregnant, and I'm not pregnant, just so you know. Anyway, but I have noticed that I have started to gather some dreams and to be aware of them. Not necessarily that I have captured details, but in the moment of becoming aware that I was dreaming, I've been aware of the experience and have had that come more. And I am curious about why that was an assignment, for lack of a better word, but why did you invite us to do that? And how can it apply to what we've been talking about?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm excited that you're starting to dream or remember your dreams. It was an assignment because our next retreat, we're going to be looking at dreams and archetypal imagery. And Simona had promised very generously the oh, she just put it in the link, and it's like ended up in one of the dead zones of my inbox. And I thought I would listen to it first before sending out, but I was going to say I'm just going to make sure I send it out this week, whether I listen to it or not. But thank you for also posting it in there. So because I think when you brought this up at the retreat, Kim, Simona said she had some ideas for you. So it's in there, and I will also make sure it gets sent out via email as well. And thank you, Simona.
I love that she wanted to listen to it first. I think that's so powerful, because I love that you vet what you send to all of us. And I think that's cool. I think we all, that's like a container too. So that's really cool. So yeah. So Joanna hasn't vetted this, but I just took it out there.
No, it's all good.
I love that. That's fantastic. It feels really good. Like a mama hen, like.
And Kim, I just want to point out, look at the power of your psyche. Like you haven't been able to dream except for when you've been pregnant. And you kind of, you know, whether you realized it or not, you kind of told your psyche, like, hey, I want to start dreaming. Joanna gave me this assignment, you know, about dreams. I want to start dreaming. And look at that, right? It's in motion. It's in progress. Like, you are a very powerful human being. All right. We've got a couple of minutes left. I'm wondering, based on everything that we've looked at today, what a homework, assignments, next steps, and it could be on anything. It could be around the technique, or it could be in your business or in your life. What are you feeling? What homework are you feeling inspired to give yourself from our time together today? What are your next steps? Julia.
Yeah, I didn't know where to journal. Can I share?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I've been speaking on a lot of summits, and what I've been noticing is that anytime I do a talk or anything like that, it takes me about twice as long energetically to come back to a state where I'm like, okay, I can go on to the next thing or the next thing. And I started to notice that this explains why I had been rejecting quite a bit of work. It's because energetically, it just drains my body. It's so much fun in the moment. It's just amazing, transformative. But then after that, it's like, what did I sign up for and whatnot? So I would like to know what my natural work cycle is. I thought I did. But I realize I've been really using that masculine, this is what we're gonna do, okay? And then the feminine comes in when it's actually coaching. But I'd like to apply the feminine side to the structure. And I think this is gonna be interesting, but I'm gonna remember that you said growth is cyclical.
Yes.
So.
Julia, I love this. I feel like this is one of those keys. You've been talking a lot over the last few months about being able to execute all the things that you plan. And I feel like this is gonna be an important key to that, is really, instead of pretending like you have one kind of work cycle, actually bringing awareness to and embracing and honoring the work cycle that you have. And then planning to leverage that in the most effective ways possible. And if it lands, I'll just add, as you're becoming more aware, I'll just add this other question to it, is as you start to become aware of what that work cycle is, what environmental pieces could be put in place to support the recovery? that you need, that recovery period.
I love this because as I was thinking about this, I wrote down, I was like, okay, remember how we already had these snacks that we, it's just really honestly just following through with the things that I had set up and then kind of like forgot why. It's like, remember the snacks. So this is, you have your pacing, go out in nature. That's why you live here. You know, it's remembering that the tools and resources are there. It's using them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And remembering that they can help you reach your goals versus that they're distractions or using time that otherwise could be used towards the goals, right? Yeah. Beautiful. I'd love to hear a few more. What action steps are you setting up for yourself? And Naomi, I'm sorry that your son isn't feeling well. I'm glad you're going to look at navigating resistance. Solvay.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to come on voice to voice because Rose, I'm with you. I took 3 weeks off and it was delightful. And so I haven't looked at anything. And then I came home and I got COVID. And so I had like another like imposed week of rest. So, which I'm doing much better. But anyways, so I'm just going to commit to looking at the technique again because I feel like I just totally stepped away, which was quite delightful. But I'm going to commit to looking at the technique and journaling about what's coming through because I just feel so like, oh, cool. That's right. We did that a month ago. So I just want to voice that for anyone else who might be in that space too. But I'm going to look at the technique and journal about it and think about how I can, as I'm reconnecting with my work, how I can start moving back and using it. So that's what I'm committing to.
Beautiful. I love it. And I'm glad you had time off. I'm sorry we had to move through COVID.
Well, I mean, it was coming. You know, it feels like it's sort of inevitable for all of us. So it was my time. But yes, lots of rest.
Yeah, good. Kim is saying in the chat, I had previously committed to journal about my visualization experience, but haven't done that yet. So you're going to commit to doing that for real. And Rose, if maybe you can help Kim. Kim is going to help you stay accountable, and maybe Rose, you can help Kim stay accountable.
Absolutely.
Any last words before we wrap for today? Simona.
This is a logistics question about the in-person retreat. So I'm curious, can you remind us if we want a roommate, how we want a roommate to connect to do that?
That is a great question. So I know that you're not on Facebook. Otherwise, I would suggest
just post on
But if anyone shares on Facebook, I will let you know. And also, we'll have this be...
Oh, people will be recording. Anyone who's listening, yeah. If you need a roommate. I'm like having the both. Like, I'm like, okay, like part of me is like, this is a group thing. And part of me is like, oh, I'd like to have alone space to recover. So I'm having like this... But yes, so I might want to go, but yeah, that's up. I was curious how it was going to work.
Yeah, so we'll name this as one of your open like calls, and if anybody posts, I'll let you know, and I'll also send out an email and ask people, you know, remind people that that's an option as well. Kelsey's next steps are going to be to put my joy-filled experiences on my calendar. Yes, from the retreat. That's great. Yes. And looking at your healing process. Beautiful. All right, everybody. I'm so glad that we had this time. And even though most of you were resistant to coming. No, I'm kidding. I'm so glad that we had this time together today. As always, my heart is full just from being with you and your energy. I'm sending you lots of love, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.